WSHU, the station you know, trust, and count on, is more relevant than ever. I'm Brad Dancer, the general manager here at WSHU. Your support makes it possible for us to deliver what you need, exactly when you need it, wherever you are. With your help, we tell the stories that matter, connecting the facts and uncovering the truths that keep you informed. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU Public Radio. We're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Governor Lamont weighs in on the New York City mayoral race. Groups around the region gear up to help those impacted by Hurricane Melissa. Plus, a Halloween icon that calls our region home needs our help. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says he's ready to work with New York City mayoral frontrunner Zoran Mamdani if he wins next week's election, WSHU's Molly Ingram reports.
Mamdani is 10 points ahead of former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo in the polls. Lamont, a former businessman, had endorsed Cuomo before the primary. On CNN Thursday morning, he said Mamdani has run a great campaign. But if he wins?
Now it's time to transition. Is he a mayor who can govern? Part of that's going to be reaching out to the business community and Wall Street and say, I'm here, you know, to fight for all the people. I know how important you are to the city.
Lamont specifically credits Mamdani with focusing on affordability on the campaign trail, a top issue for Americans across the country. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Aid groups around New York are gearing up to help those displaced by the powerful hurricane that ripped through the Caribbean this week. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
Hurricane Melissa was one of the strongest storms ever to make landfall in the Caribbean. Horace Davis heads up the Caribbean American Society of New York in Queens. He says we still don't know the full scope of the damage to life and property in Jamaica.
It's very early. One of the things that we're doing is sharing information with the diaspora to make sure that they're plugged into the right channels as far as providing support for the island.
Davis says widespread power outages and blocked roads are making it hard for New Yorkers to reach friends and family in places the hurricane hit. Long Island is home to about 25,000 Jamaican Americans. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
There's a new twist in the case of convicted former deputy budget director Costas Diamantis. WSHU's Shelley Hessman Kadish reports his attorney has requested that jurors in the case be ordered back to federal court.
Defense attorney Norm Pattis says he wants to question the jurors about whether they were aware of news coverage of the case before the trial. Pattis pointed to comments reportedly made to the media by the jury forewoman after the trial. She commented that some members of the jury had heard of Diamantis before the trial. According to the Connecticut Mirror, Pattis said that the remark raises serious questions about whether all of the jurors were truly impartial. The jury convicted Diamantis on 21 federal corruption charges. He was accused of taking bribes to steer contracts to certain school construction companies. If the judge decides not to recall jurors, Diamantis is scheduled to be sentenced on January 14th. Shelley Hassman Kadish, WSHU News.
Despite their scary reputation, bats are nothing to fear. It's the thought of losing them that's truly scary. That story is coming up. Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
This is the weekend that most of the U.S. falls back an hour to resume standard time again. As a reminder to set your clock back 1 hour, Sunday Baroque's musical highlights include a variety of cheerful Baroque timekeeping, including a carillon concerto and a sonata written to celebrate and imitate the bells of a French church. It's on Sunday Baroque this week. Sunday morning at 7 on WSHU Public Radio.
A $300,000 grant will fund a two-year lake keeper position for Lake Ronkonkoma. New York State says the grant will improve water quality monitoring. The lake has been suffering from pollution for decades. Yale New Haven Health has renewed its contract with Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. The agreement says that Anthem members will stay in-network to Yale's hospitals and clinics. Yale New Haven Health is Connecticut's largest healthcare provider. Suffolk County DA Ray Tierney says he will not prosecute LARR workers accused of running a fake ID wage theft plot. Tierney says the case was tainted by too much inadmissible evidence. The plot involved more than 30 employees using copies of IDs to cover up their coworkers' absences. Last month, the U.S. Justice Department sued six states, including New York, seeking unredacted statewide voter registration lists. The New York Public News Network's Andrew Waite reports they want access to information like Social Security and driver's license numbers.
Last week, the League of Women Voters of New York State filed a motion to intervene in the case. The state's League of Women Voters executive director, Erica Smitka, says she's concerned that the government collecting such information could contribute to voter suppression.
We expect that they'll use this information to do a few things. We think that they're going to use it to continue to push falsehoods about election security and election fraud. We think they may use it to target potential political opponents. We know they're working in conjunction with the Department of Homeland Security, so they may use it for immigration enforcement. Other things they might try to do are attempt to force states to remove voters from the database when, you know, they're not eligible to be purged.
In response to an inquiry, the U.S. Department of Justice referred to a press release about the lawsuits with a statement from Attorney General Pam Bondi that says, in part, clean voter rolls are the foundation of free and fair elections. Reporting in Albany for the New York Public News Network, I'm Andrew Waite.
Fall isn't just for witches. It's also the last time to spot bats before they hibernate or fly south for the winter. The New England News Collaborative's Hannah Loss tagged along with scientists to a top secret location as they try to protect these misunderstood mammals.
Elise Stanmeyer is wearing a headlamp, and she's leading me into an old, abandoned military structure somewhere in Massachusetts. We have to whisper so we don't disturb the residents. Stanmeyer points to six of them clinging to the wall.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Here's a cluster.
Biologist asks us to keep the location secret to protect the endangered bats here.
And you can see at least one of them has a band.
This musty concrete building has become an ideal winter home for bats. She shines her headlamp on one in particular and tries to see what kind it is.
It's hard to tell. Like, one thing we look at to determine, like, little brown bat is, like, how long their toe hairs are.
Stanmeyer works for the Massachusetts Department of Conservation and Recreation. She looks after the nine bat species found in the state. Just outside the shelter, she begins setting up a device to record bat calls.
And then we are able to take those vocalizations and figure out bat species.
Like this one, probably an eastern small-footed bat, recorded by state biologists in August near the Quabbin Reservoir.
The longest process when deciding to deploy a bat detector is finding, like, your Goldilocks spot for it.
Today, she finds that perfect spot and starts to assemble the detector.
Oh, yeah, I put it right down in the deer poop.
She fastens a long stick to a young sapling. Then she zip ties a microphone to the top. And that's connected to a metal box that'll record bat calls at dusk and dawn.
Last thing to do is lock her up. There we go, done. And now we will hope that we get some good data.
The goal is to learn more about how climate change could be shifting bat activity here at the largest hibernation spot in the state.
And I think that's interesting and that's important for, like, regulatory and management purposes to know when they're active and when they're actually hibernating. Mm-hmm.
Despite their scary reputation, most bats, including all the ones here, don't suck blood. Instead, they gorge on insects, eating half their body weight in bugs a night. That makes bats super valuable, says Laura Hancock, a wildlife researcher at Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts.
So they're very important in terms of reducing pests, right? Agricultural pests, pests that we as humans don't like. It has a massive economic impact in terms of helping farmers so that we don't have to spend money managing those pests.
But many East Coast bats are endangered because of a fungal condition called white nose syndrome. It's decimated populations in the last two decades. Nathan Buckout is a biologist with Mass Wildlife.
Places that might have had 10,000 bats and now have 8 total bats. I mean, the numbers, it's that drastic of a drop.
The hibernation site here, the biggest in the state, has almost 200 bats. But DCR's Elise Stanmeyer says she'd like to see more.
This should be like chock full. Okay.
Anyone can help bat conservation by reporting sightings to Mass Wildlife or building bat boxes. And for some spooky season plans, try watching these flying mammals at dusk near ponds or open fields before they hunker down for the winter.
For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Hannah Loss.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or you can download our free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. Instagram is the place to be for even more from this station. We would love to connect with you there. We're easy to find. We're at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak with you tomorrow.